Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yeshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Free Indeed, and I'm Nicholas, and we've been talking about betrothal, marriage, divorce, family government, all of these things that are related topics. That's why I'm covering them all together. When we left last time, we're talking about something quite controversial. We read about how the Father, the Creator, came to the children of Israel and commanded them to put away their strange wives that they were causing them to follow after other gods. He said, for you shall, in Exodus 34:14, he says, for you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. An interesting word, jealous. Why would our Father be called jealous? Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eatest sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make no molten gods. And so, basically, you know, Yahweh was warning them here, and that is exactly what they did. They took themselves wives, of this strange wives of the other heathen nations around them, and they began to follow after their wives and their gods. That's why when the Creator told them to go into the land to totally destroy all the inhabitants of the land, because he knew that if they let the inhabitants live, that the inhabitants of the land would cause them to follow after strange gods, other gods, which is exactly what happened and which is exactly what they did. So the circumstance came about where Yahweh required them to put away their strange wives, which they did. And that was the thing that pleased God. Yes, divorce. They divorced their unbelieving wives they should not have taken in the first place. They were commanded to do that. Jumping forward to Nehemiah 13, verses 23 and on, we read, in those days also I saw Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Hebrew tongue, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, you shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nation was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. So shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? Now I have a question. Would Yahweh have been pleased if Solomon put away all his strange wives from him and divorced them? Well, I contend that he would have been pleased for Solomon to do that. And we all know how Solomon was led astray by his strange wives, as it just says here. And so there's many admonitions about the children of Israel not marrying strange women or women that were not of the faith. Okay, I wanted to go over to Deuteronomy. Here's a little more insight into the law of marriage and divorce. Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her. I was kind of wondering, what is this uncleanness? Well, of course, the law wouldn't write into it anything that was unlawful. So the uncleanness had to be a lawful purpose to put her away. Now, an example of this that I find in the scripture would be what happened with Joseph and Mary, his wife. If we jump forward to Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, they were betrothed. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now Joseph obviously loved Mary, and he found that his wife was pregnant before he had come together with her. So there was only one conclusion for him to come to, that she had committed adultery. Now, he could have turned her in to the judges and said, "This, my betrothed, is found and pregnant by another man that is not me, and I've never been with her." And she could have been stoned for that. That was a capital offense. Although I'm not sure that the Romans allowed the Israelites at that time to carry out capital punishment. I'm pretty sure that they did not. At least that's why the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites had to take Yeshua the Messiah to the Romans, because they were not allowed to carry out capital punishment. So Joseph, but that's not to say it wouldn't happen. But Joseph probably loved Mary and did not want to, as it says in the scripture here, make a public example. He was minded to put her away privately. But of course, while he thought on those things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and the rest is history. So jumping back to our example here, so back to our reference in Deuteronomy. A man has taken a wife, married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her. Then let him write her a bill of divorcement. And, you know, this could have been the case where he's putting away an unbelieving wife or an adulterous wife, whatever the purpose, he has found some uncleanness in her and does not want her as his wife anymore. He's found some lawful cause to put her away. So let him, it says, because he has found some uncleanness in her and he wants to put her away, then let him write her a bill of divorcement. And this is where the legal paper came in. He writes her a bill of divorcement and gives it in her hand and sends her out of the house. The bill of divorcement says, "This woman is lawfully divorced from me," and he would sign or put his seal or whatever on it, and that way she could hold it in her hand, and any man would know that this is a free woman, that she can be married again, whatever the case may be. Nobody's going to stone her for committing adultery because she has a bill of divorcement in her hand. I believe that's what the reason for the writing of a bill of divorcement would be. Gives it to her hand. But see, this scripture is actually about something else. So let's continue here. "And when she has departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife." The bill of divorcement, she's not committing adultery. She has been let go. She has been put away from her former husband's house. She's no longer married. She does not have a husband. There's no adultery. So she may go and marry another, become another man's wife. "And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and giveth it in her hand," we don't get a reason. It's just setting up for the real reason that this is being written. "Giveth it in her hand and send her out of his house. Or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife." So if either of these things happen, if her next husband divorces her, sends her out of the house, gives her a writ of divorcement, or if her second husband dies, it says, "Her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that she is defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance." So basically what is saying is that if a woman is divorced from one husband, marries another man, and he either gives her a writ of divorcement or he dies, she cannot go back to a former husband. She can only go back to a former husband if she has not had a husband since her writ of divorcement. So if a woman is divorced, she can be reconciled to her husband. They can be remarried and become husband and wife again. There's no law against that. But unless she has married someone else and for whatever reason she is free to remarry again, but she may not remarry any husband before her last husband. So the second husband that sent her out, he could marry her again. He could take her back. they could be reconciled for whatever reason. He could say, well, if he found some uncleanness and he says, okay, well, I'm going to forgive you. I can live with you. I want you to be my wife again. So she could be reconciled to him, but she could not be reconciled to a former husband. That seems quite clear. A little more on the law of marriage and divorce from the Old Testament, and I believe that would be just as applicable today. Question is, now I met a couple before I read this law here and knew this law, and what happened? She was married to her husband one time. They had no children. They divorced. She got married to another man, and she had children with him, and I believe she became a widow. Then she ran into her first husband, and they got married, and they had more children, not knowing the law. Well, I didn't know the law either, so I didn't think anything of it, and they've moved, so I have no contact with them. But what should they do? And subsequently, they both became Christians together in their most recent marriage or remarriage. What should they do? Well, I don't believe they should get a divorce. What they did in ignorance. But if they had known the law, then it would have been an abomination. They could not have got married again. But they did not know the law. So what are we going to do? Compound the evil by forcing them to divorce and break up that family and all those children? I don't think so. Now let's move on to the great divorce. And I would consider that when the Creator divorces or puts away a wife, I would consider that the great divorce. What do you think? Go to Isaiah chapter 50, where Yahweh is speaking to the children of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, verse 1, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Yes, Yahweh, the Creator, divorced Israel for their iniquities. He found, what did he find in them? Some uncleanness. He put them away. He sold her children into slavery to pay their sin debt. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 8. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And of course, we know that the northern kingdom was dispersed to the nations, carried away as slaves, and disappeared from history pretty much forever. They're called the Lost Tribes of Israel because they had been lost, well, several hundred years before Judah went into captivity, if I'm correct. And then Judah, of course, played the harlot also. They didn't fear, and this was in Jeremiah's time. And what did Jeremiah say to the remnant, to the faithful? He said, Babylon's coming. Don't fight them. Surrender. Now, the patriots of Jeremiah's time, they said, fight, fight. It was too late. See, because there is a spiritual battle going on here in the land where I live, as there was in Jeremiah's time. It makes me wonder how long before Yahweh sells this nation to pay its debts, gives it over to its enemies. I fear to think of it, but I do expect it. And I expect it in my lifetime. I may be premature, but if not in my lifetime, very soon after. I don't see how a nation that once was so blessed by Yahweh, that spread to help spread the gospel to the world, now being so displeasing in his sight and having corporate churches full of apostasy. How long? Apparently he's already divorced her, it seems to me. Why? Because they've gone whoring after other gods. So how long before we're sold into slavery? How long before we're conquered by our enemies? It's a little bit frightening when you think about there is a nation of people on this planet that have a 200 million man army standing right now. And in the book of Revelation, there it speaks about a 200 million man army. Now this is something that could not have existed 2,000 years ago. But here it is today. It is a frightening thought, if ever there was a time, to hold fast, to seek Yahweh with all your heart, to lay down all your idols and all of your misunderstanding and all of the bad indoctrination and cling to Him and His Word and allow His law to be written on your heart by the act of repentance, changing your mind, saying, yes, I have been wrong. Your Word says something different than what I have believed and what I have practiced. Change my heart, change my mind, that I might come into agreement with your law word and learn to obey. And He will. He'll teach you obedience. You can cross the border into His kingdom and live forever, despite the circumstances, despite the judgment that's coming. Oh, believe it, judgment is coming. And you may think, well, it's not going to come in my lifetime. Well, it may, and it may not. And perhaps you hate your children, and you don't care if it comes in their lifetime. Or perhaps you're just realizing that you do hate your children, and it's time to love God and love your neighbor as yourself by being obedient to your Creator. Maybe things can change. Maybe if there was enough repentance. But I'm afraid we have a haughty people here in this land. By the event that happened a couple years ago, I saw the pride and arrogance of a people, and look what they're doing now. And still they continue to walk further and further away from God, from Yahweh and His law. These people are too stupid and too hard-hearted to be afraid. Well, be afraid. Only fear Yahweh and live. Malachi chapter 2, verses 11 through 16. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet he had the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. Well, the language here is a little archaic, but basically here, the father who put away Israel for a cause, for a lawful cause, because he found uncleanness in her. He's now saying to the children of Israel that you're putting away your wives for an unlawful reason. And he says, I hate divorce. He says, I hateth putting away. Putting away is the term for divorce. He says that he hates divorce. He did it. He commanded it. And it was right, the right and pleasing thing to do under certain circumstances. But where it was unlawful, he says that you dealt treacherously. He calls it covering violence with his garment. He calls it violence. And I'll tell you what, divorce for an unlawful cause is worse than death. It's worse than murder. It really is. The scripture likens it to violence. And I believe that Yeshua backs this up in Matthew. Let's take a look at that verse there. Matthew 5, verses 31, 32. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say to you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Now here, the Messiah is reiterating what we just read in Malachi. He's clarifying it. He says, now, it has been said. Who has said this? Well, this would be the tradition of the elders. You can put your wife away for any cause. And let's move on. This comes up again in chapter 19, verses 3 through 12, where the Pharisees come to him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put his wife away for every cause? Now, this is a twisting of the scripture, of course, the twisting of the law of God, but this is what they had come to accept. No fault divorce, basically what people practice today. For every cause, well, you can interpret that as irreconcilable differences they had come to sin. Nothing new under the sun, is there, really, when you think about it? So what is the answer of Yeshua, the Messiah, to these hypocrites? Said when they ask him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. That's what we read in Malachi. I would think that Jesus, Yeshua, he must have been reading the Old Testament. You know, everybody thinks he came up with all this new stuff, but he read the law of God. He gave the Father credit. He said, only the things that the Father bids me, that's what I do. It's no wonder that he knew the law better than they knew the law, and he was able to teach it in a way that they could not dispute. I mean, how can they dispute the word? Especially when the one who wrote the law is speaking it to them. I'll tell you, Yahweh and Yahshua, Jesus and the Creator, are one. That's what it says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, in the King James Version. In the King James English, the Lord our God is one. Yeah, he was one. So, he said, there are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So, this also reinforces what we learned about divorce and putting away an unlawful marriage, because God has not joined together homosexuals. God did not join together the children of Israel with heathen wives. God does not join together a Christian with a non-Christian. He does not join together the household of the faith with the household of darkness. These are not what God has not joined together. But he says what he has joined together, let not man put asunder. And remember, of course, in the previous chapter, verse 5, the previous verse there, he says, saving for the cause of fornication. Now, what was fornication? Well, it covered every sexual sin that there was, from the withholding of sex from your partner, which I would extend to refusing to have child or give a child to your spouse, because that tears asunder the one flesh relationship. And it you tear the power of your body away from your spouse. So that fornication, I believe, would include that, as well as adultery, or using, as many women do, sex as a weapon to get what they want, withholding. What they're doing is ruling over their husband, turning the government, the family government that Yahweh has established, on its head, becoming the head. So there is the exception, except saving for the cause of fornication causes her. And it says, but I say to you, if you put your wife away, except for fornication or an adultery, you cause her to commit adultery. Because what he's saying here is that if you divorce your wife for an unlawful reason, that she really still is your wife. And even if she goes to marry, her that is divorced in that way is committing adultery. Maybe I should say that again. I don't think I ever even quite saw this that way before myself. But it seems very clear. It hath been said, whoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees were teaching, so that they could put their wives away against the word of God, against what we read in Malachi, where Yahweh called it violence, where he likened it to violence and an abomination. But they were practicing that. They were putting away their younger wife, you know, to even make it worse. You think about this. They put away the wife of their youth, right? Because now, you know, maybe they're 40, 50 years old, and their wife is 40, 50 years old, and maybe she ain't looking so hot anymore. She can't bear children anymore. So what are they going to do? They're going to put her away, so what? So that they don't have to perform their marital duty with her, so that they don't have to provide for her. In that instance, Yahweh says, I hate putting away. I hate divorce. He called it violence. And I'll tell you what, they put him away, and what did Jesus say here? He says, But I say to you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. But I'm going to ask you something. Who's going to be guilty of that adultery? Because if a man could put his wife, give her a writ of divorcement for the cause of fornication, she could go out and marry again. She's got the writ in her hand. She was put away for fornication. We read that she could remarry, but her husband put her away. So who's guilty? Who's going to carry the guilt of that adultery? Well, it's going to be the one who put her away. It wouldn't be the wife who was innocently put away because she was despised by her husband for basically becoming old or unattractive or and like I said, to make it worse, though Allah allowed them to take another wife. So they probably, in this case, already have taken another wife, or maybe several wives over the years. But they're going to put away their first wife, the wife of their youth. How treacherous is that? So Yeshua answers them in verse 8 of chapter 19. He says unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, so he says Moses suffered you. The law didn't suffer them to do it. We just read the law. Nowhere were they allowed to put their wives away for an unlawful cause, because of the hardness of your hearts. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. So he lays it on the man. See, here's the thing. They could keep the wife of their youth and take another wife, and they weren't committing adultery. But he says, if you put away your wife and marry another. And that's what Paul said. Remember, we read that in 1 Corinthians. He said, If a wife leave her husband, either she should remain single or be reconciled. I see the same principle here. It says, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another. Okay? What if he stays single, doesn't marry anymore? Well, then this doesn't fall on him. It's the same rule that applies. But he says, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. So what are the repercussions of this from the scripture? I mean, this is from the New Testament. This is the Master, our Lord, Yeshua, the Messiah, speaking. And how many Christians ignore this? How many of the corporate church ignore this? If this was preached as something to be held to, I think some preachers would lose their position. And I believe that's the same way if many preachers preached 1 Corinthians chapter 19 in its fullness. Half of the congregation would leave. And that would be mostly women, and the men that left would be led by their wives, talking about family government and who's really the head of the house. The tale tells itself. Well, we're out of time in this segment, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back. I would like to hear from you. Have any questions, comments, or whatever you may have, email me, Nicholas@FirstAmendmentRadio.com. I really would like to hear from you. It would be nice to know that somebody out there is listening, that maybe at least two or three people think that maybe I've got my head screwed on straight, or maybe you think I'm totally whacked out. You have a total whack job over here. Somebody said that the other day about people like me, that we're total whack jobs. Well, hey, I'm just reading the scripture here, and that's what I'm interested in. What does the scripture say? I'm not telling anyone what they have to do or practice or anything else. Just that. What does the scripture say? I'll be back in a couple minutes.